Hello, everyone. Hi, Gail. Thanks for greeting everyone. It's great to be on the call. We thought we were had our mic open and we were muted, so you couldn't hear us. So Gary and I are really excited to be here with all of you, and what a great call we're going to have today. I just feel it.
Hello, everyone. Yes, we're going to talk about things from a different perspective today. Every time we're together, whether it's at an event or you're reading a book or you're doing a life exploration, it's all based on a transformation in human consciousness that is species-wide. And that transformation is from five-sensory perception to multi-sensory perception. It's from a perception that can't see anything more than what can be heard and tasted and touched and smelled. And five-sensory humans think that that's what the universe is, what it's made of, and that's the extent of it. But multisensory humans aren't confined to those limitations. So they sense themselves as more than minds and bodies. And this multisensory perception is changing everything. Not only our experiences of ourselves, it's changing our understanding of power, for sure. The old power used to be the ability to manipulate and to control, and everybody competed for it. Darwin called it survival of the fittest. And that competition for external power allowed us to evolve. It was necessary to our evolution, but now we're in new terrain. And that very same activity, pursuit of external power, competition for it, is toxic. It's counterproductive to our evolution. It leads nowhere. It's a dead end. And a new kind of power has become visible to us. That is authentic power, the alignment of the personality with the soul. Well, naturally, this doesn't mean anything to five-sensory humans. It couldn't have a century ago because the soul was just an idea, a theological concept. It's not anymore. It's real. It's at the center of who we are, who you are. It's everything that's noble. It's everything. It's the creative, vital force at the essence of your personality. Well, this transformation in human consciousness from five-sensory to multi-sensory has affected our understanding not only of power, but our understanding of everything, relationship, for example, and community is another example. So this morning, I want to talk to you about something else. It's actually the same thing, but on a different scale. Do you think it's possible that a transformation that affects the entire human species could be occurring only in us, and that it wouldn't be happening to the world around us? To the world that five-sensory humans created? No. No, it's happening to the world that five-sensory humans created, because everything that five-sensory humans understood, valued, and pursued no longer serves us. We are becoming multi-sensory. And as we become multisensory, we become able to look at everything that five-sensory humans created in a very different way. Well, what did they create? Everything. For example, our social structures. It doesn't matter what culture or continent you're from, you have social structures. And those social structures were created by five-sensory humans. Now, there are some, you might say, possible exceptions to this. Those would be Aboriginal people who have been multisensory. They might be Buddhist who understand about reincarnation. They might be Hindus who understand about reincarnation. They might be Christians who understand about heaven and hell. All of these things are not five-sensory. But nonetheless, there are very few Hindus or Buddhists or Christians that take seriously the reality that the time that we spend as personalities in the Earth School really does impact non-physical reality. In the case of Christians, it imparts tremendous fear that they're going to go to hell and for eternity suffer. Well, they're already suffering as personalities. Everybody is. And that suffering comes from the frightened parts of our personalities. The parts that we experience as anger, jealousy. If that's not a hell, what is? Superiority, inferiority, seeking vengeance, compulsions, addictions, obsessions. But all of these things, in other words, five sensory humanity, even though it had expressed the understanding, and for some people at one time, the experience of non-physical reality, that experience is becoming real to multisensory humans. But you don't have to experience non-physical reality to see that what five-sensory humanity created and we have inherited is not working. It's not working because everything in it is based on the perception of power as the ability to manipulate and control. It's based on external power. And external power is now poison. So how can we see for ourselves if this is true or not? One way is to look at our social structures. So the one social structure that we're going to look at this morning is government, governance. And for government, because I'm American and because I'm most familiar with the American form of government, I'll refer to that. But it doesn't matter what form of governance you have. It doesn't matter if it's parliamentary. It doesn't matter if you have a royal family. It doesn't matter. If you have a form of governance that rests upon the consent of the governed, we'd call that democracy now, that form of governance is now being affected, that social structure, radically by the transformation in human consciousness. Because that social structure is based on the understanding of power as external. And that understanding of power is now counterproductive to our revolution. So let me now get specific. In the United States, and I believe that everyone on this call is living in North America, so you're very familiar with the American form of government. And if you're not, no matter what, pardon me, beloved,
yeah,
aren't you saying
something?
Yeah, I believe
there's someone on from Norway.
Oh,
did you know that?
Hello to our Norwegian colleague. Well, in that case, then allow yourself to flex a little bit, because I'm sure that whatever the American government is doing by now has reached the newspapers and the internet in Norway. So I feel that you'll understand what this call is about. So I'll still talk about the American form of governance, which is representative constitutional democracy. That form of governance is, in my opinion, one of the most advanced five-sensory forms of government ever created. In the United States, the government has three bodies: the legislature, the judiciary, the courts, and the executive branch. That's the president, the cabinet, and all of the departments of government. And because of the way the American Constitution was created, brilliantly, I think, all of these three branches check and balance the other two. What do they check and what do they balance? They check the natural pursuit of external power by each of these parts of government, lawmakers, executives, and the courts, even the courts. And that worked for about two centuries. These checks and balances kept our government stable, or at least floating. Democracy has never been pretty. It's never been respectful. It's been brutal. It is based on conflict. It's adversarial. And these checks and balances check and balance the pursuit of external power, the conflict, the adversarial relationships, and harness these conflicting pursuits of external power for the common good. And it worked because for two centuries, with one huge exception, which was the Civil War in the United States, power was transferred without bloodshed. And even during the Civil War, the presidency of the United States was still transferred without bloodshed. In other words, everything that caused bloodshed and carnage in human history prior, as heads of state struggled with other heads of state and sent armies and navies to forward their goals, in a democracy can happen in the ballot room, with a ballot. There is still a sharp dividing line between winner and loser. It's a fault line, you might say. And whoever wins, and is always a clear winner, takes external power. And the loser, instead of being executed or sent to guillotines or firing squads, is allowed to regroup and plan for another battle. That'll be the next election. What's happening now? Why is this not working? Everyone who can see what the American government is devolving into, which is non-functionality, has no question that this government is not working very well. Now, if we were 5th century, we would say, well, the last election didn't go so well for some people. They think we should have elected someone else. And those people think that if we do elect someone else next time, everything will change and it'll be okay again. Those people who like the president that we elected say we've got to elect him again to keep things going the way we want. But everyone can see that there is unvarnished conflict emerging in the United States. And it's not just in the United States. It's in Europe also, in Germany, in France. But we're focusing now on the United States, where it's very apparent. How can this be? Why aren't the checks and balances working? The checks and balances that harness competing pursuits of external power for the common good. Why aren't they doing that? Here's where we come to the shift in consciousness that is affecting the entire human species. It's not only the understanding of power that has changed with this transformation of consciousness, the understanding of power that is shifting from external to authentic. It is the actual nature and dynamic of power itself. The pursuit of external power now produces only violence and destruction. And we've discussed this so many times in the past. But we've discussed it in the domain of internal experience. And we've referenced how the pursuit of external power in international relations, for example, produces only violence and destruction, which is evident. But now it is power itself that is new. It is external power itself that is now toxic. And it is authentic power itself that is now the only power that can take us forward on our evolution. Alignment of the personality with the soul, with harmony, cooperation, sharing, and reverence for life. Well, there is none of that in the pursuit of external power. There is none of that in Washington, D.C., in Congress, and in the government. There is none of that in London, in the Parliament. There is none of that in any government. There is the pursuit of external power. In other words, government, and especially American government in this example, not only, but in this example, the American government is not functioning because the pursuit of external power itself is counterproductive to evolution. It can't be harnessed for the common good because there is no good in it. There is no constructive benefit or consequence that can be gained from the pursuit of external power in any context, whether it is interior in your world, in which you are challenging the power struggles in yourself, the anger in yourself, the judgment, the part of yourself that needs to control and dominate others with its wit, its intellect, its wealth, its education. There is no difference between that and external power now in the world around us, the world that we have inherited from a five-century humanity. What does that mean? It means that things are not going to change no matter what president or what Congress we elect. It means that things are not going to improve in Germany, France, Norway, or any other place on the earth, no matter what government replaces the one that is currently in power. Now, in places like China and Russia, which are dictatorships, and in parts of Africa, which are controlled by brutal modern versions of warlords, the pursuit of external power is evident. But in those countries where there is a government that rests upon the consent of the governed, then it's very apparent that even in these contexts, these governments cannot continue to serve the people that they govern. That means they have no future. That means it doesn't matter how elections are won or lost or how power, external power, is transferred. External power itself and the pursuit of it are not going to serve us. They're not going to serve you. They're not going to serve our children. They're not going to serve our grandchildren. They're not going to serve any form of life on the earth. So I'm saying this because if you are one who feels that the next election anywhere you are living is going to make things better, you can ask yourself that question again and take a larger perspective, the perspective of multi-sensory perception, the perspective in which the pursuit of external power in any context is toxic, is poisonous, is bad medicine, is lethal. Well, these are the things that Linda and I wanted to present to you today for your consideration. Usually we present external power and authentic power in terms of your own experience. But now you can begin to see that your experience is intimately related to your experience of the world outside of you. Your internal dynamics reflect and are reflected by the external world. In other words, what needs to be changed in the world is identical with what needs to be changed in you.
So you're saying that if I have a reaction to what happens in an election, I have a reaction to what I'm hearing about what governments are doing, whether it's our government in the U.S. or other governments, if I'm having a reaction, that means that I need to look inside myself, because that is telling me something about myself, like I'm pursuing external power in some way, or I wouldn't have that reaction. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. That every time you have a reaction to anything, whether it's another person or it's the outcome of an election, that reaction, and when I say reaction, I'm talking about an emotional experience that's painful. There's an emotional charge to it. There's a judgment, a criticism. There's a need to make it different. Wherever there is an emotional reaction, that reaction informs you about yourself. Five-sensory humans think that what the world shows them allows them to learn about the world outside of themselves. Multi-sensory humans know that the world outside of themselves and what they react to in it shows them what they can learn about themselves, so that they can create lives of meaning and purpose and fulfillment, so that their contributions to their own experiences and those around them will be constructive rather than destructive. And as they make those changes in themselves, they are contributing to the world around them. There's an old saying that is attributed to Gandhi. It's not really Gandhi. No one really said it. But Gandhi lived it, and that is, be the change. Be the change that you want to see in. No matter who said it or where that originated, it is so. You cannot be controlled by the frightened parts of your personality and contribute to a world that is not controlled by fear. And if you want to live in a world that expresses love, that expresses harmony and cooperation and sharing and reverence for life, then you need to create that in you. Because there's no way that you can create it in the world than by creating authentic power in you. If you try to change the world with external power, you're not changing anything. You're just giving more to the world of what the world is already built on. That's the scope and power and immensity of the time into which we have been born, and all others henceforth are being born. A world of multisensory perception, a world of the understanding of power as authentic, and a world in which we see the intimate relationship between our own internal development and the evolution of the world outside of us. Now, we've chosen one social structure today to talk about. But you pick any social structure that you want, and in your own time, look at it from this perspective. You'll see that all of them are built on external power. Education, health care, the judicial system, not only governance, economics, business, science.
Education.
And you can begin to see that all of those social structures are becoming dysfunctional, and they have no future. And in their place are beginning to emerge new social structures that reflect the intentions of the soul. And they are our future. And as you create authentic power in yourself, you can become an activist and contribute to those new social structures without making anyone a villain or yourself a victim.
So every time I have a reaction to something that's happening, for instance, in the government, we're talking about government today, but any social structure, but let's say the government, if I have a reaction to what's happening that I don't like, something I'm really unhappy about, then really what I'm being given this opportunity to do is look at myself and see what's in me that is causing that reaction. Because if I do that, then I'm going to be changing myself, which will contribute to the possibility of a social structure changing.
Not contributing to it, contributing to the transformation of it. And you're exactly
yes.
right. A reaction is a reaction. It's an experience of fear. It is an activation of a frightened part of your personality, and it doesn't matter whether that reaction is to someone that you meet and you don't like, or someone that you feel has wronged you, or if it's a reaction to the election of a new prime minister or a new president. A reaction is the experience of a frightened part of your personality that has been activated. And as you become aware of those parts of your personality, you become able to challenge them by not acting them out, their desires, instead responding from the loving parts of your personality. That's the creation of authentic power.
Okay, so I want to open it up to questions, because I have a big question that I know I think people will have, so I'm really curious if it's going to come up.
Okay.
So what I want to do is open up, I want to have you raise your hands if you have questions about what we're saying today. So what that means is you need to press 1 on your keypad on your phone or on your computer, wherever you're calling in from, and that way we'll know that you have a question or you want to share something about what this stimulated in you. So you can go ahead and do that. Now just press 1 on your keypad so we'll know your hand is up and we can unmute your microphone so you can speak, because this is a time when we're going to be really interacting with each other. And I'm really looking forward to hearing if this has stimulated anything in you this morning. So can you make a connection between when you pursue external power and the consequences you create to what you see in the world outside of you? Can you see that connection? So let's see who would like to speak. So go ahead and, like I said, raise your hand. And you will have to do that, otherwise we won't know that you want to speak. So press 1 on your keypad. That way we'll know that you want your microphone unmuted and we can talk to you. So you can see what you feel right now. So go ahead and do that now. And, okay, so I'm going to call on someone, and then I'm going to ask another question. Okay, I'm going to call on John right now, John. So could you unmute John so he can talk to us? Hi, John, you're unmuted. Hello.
Good morning, Gary and Linda. I hope everyone's well.
Good morning.
One of the things, thank you. And maybe this is a question or even connecting the dots. This past week I was spending some time in spiritual partnerships. And one of the things that it was just very interesting for me, as you were just talking about being the change, as I was doing some reading in it, you were talking in this is your book, it talks about the universal law of attraction. And in that, there's a sentence that I highlighted that says, if you believe that the world is a dog-eat-dog, you become one of the dogs, and you live in a world of dogfights. If you believe that the world is miraculous, you become a miracle, and you live in a world of miraculous people. And so I don't know if you can maybe elaborate the connection there, because as you were talking about this, that's what was really hitting home for me.
There are lots of ways that you can see the intimate and powerful relationship between your internal dynamics and what the world reflects to you. And the law of attraction is one, and it's very simple to understand. Energy attracts like energy. It's as simple as that. If you are hateful, you will attract hateful people. If you are loving, you will attract loving people. If you are suspicious, you will attract suspicious people. If you are stingy, you'll attract stingy people. If you are generous, you will attract generous people. In other words, your experience always validates your belief about the world. And
I think that's connected to this, though, isn't it? I mean, at least that's the connection.
It's absolutely connected.
It's
absolutely connected. It was your question, as I understand it, about the law of attraction.
Yes, for me, it was more connecting the dots. I don't know that it was a question, more of a thought, because as you know, I'm going through my experiences with a lot of these things, and I'll connect it back to the devastation that happened this past week in Las Vegas, and then how I was choosing to react, versus coming from a place of negativity, was coming from a place of positivity and putting out love to those who are around. And again, that's what was just coming through to me as you were talking about the connect to the government and things that go on. It's the same type of thing. When we react, from that place of fear, then that it perpetuates that. And so that's what we're attracting, into us, into the everything around us, versus those positive things.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's what makes the world a reflection. One of the things that makes the world a reflection is the law of attraction, that energy attracts like energy. So you have the choice to react with fear if you have the skill and the commitment to recognize it when it becomes active in you, and instead of react to it, respond to it with a loving part of your personality, which is a part that's grateful or appreciative or caring or sensitive. That's a choice that you have. And when you make that choice, you create consequences. You create consequences for yourself. And what we're bringing out in this call is that the consequences that you create are not only confined to yourself. You are contributing to the evolution of humankind. You're not just involved in self-improvement or anger management. You are transforming your experience in the Earth School. You are learning how to use your energy, your choice of intention, consciously and constructively. And what this call is about is a reminder that that choice extends much farther than most people imagine. So see if you can connect some of those dots, and hopefully we'll be in touch and you can join us on another call.
Actually, Don will be coming
to the
Authentic Power Immersion program this month.
John.
We'll see. You'll get to meet him.
John, I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Yes, the same here. And thank you. Thanks, Linda.
All right, John. Thank you so much. I'd like to call on Marissa. Hope I'm saying your name right. We'll open up the microphone to you.
Maurice?
Hi. Hello.
Hi. How do you say your name?
Yeah, you're right. It's Marie.
It's Marie?
Marie. Like Matisse, but with an R.
Maurice.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Okay.
Yeah. So nice to be here. Thank you for the call.
Yes,
yes.
Have you been on the call before?
No, this is my first time.
Oh, well, welcome.
Thank you so much. So my question was about, because I know that Gary was speaking about the external power in old systems like financial systems. And so personally, like, I feel a little bit of a struggle because I'm trying to move my life into a way that's more congruent to living from the soul. But there's still things that I need to participate, like paying rent and paying for my health insurance and stuff like that. So I still haven't been able to completely reinvent that wheel for myself in terms of how I make my money and investing my money in ways that is responsible for the earth and for humanity. So I just wanted to know if you had any insights on that.
I'm not sure I understand your question, Maurice. I think that there's no problem with paying your rent or buying groceries or health insurance.
Right.
If you could give us an example of the conflict you're having with that.
So right now, like, I'm kind of like transitioning my career into making it something that I can make money in a way that I feel is comes from a good source. And also, when I do make money, like, I want to be able to spend it in places where I feel like it can make an impact, and as well as investing my money in places where I feel like it can make an impact for the world. But I still haven't fully transitioned the way that I receive and give money into a way that's more congruent to what I really believe in my soul is for the highest good for my life and also for the earth. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
It does. No, that does. And as you create authentic power, you will be drawn to those ways of making money or this kind of energy. Let's call it that kind of energy because it is a spendable energy. And I think you're already on that path. And everything on that path has to do with intention. Are you doing it with the intention of fear, with an intention of fear, or with an intention of love? So you're already applying that to how you make money, but you can begin to do, of course, the basic things about how you spend money. You can put it in a bank that supports green causes rather than causes that are exploitative. You can find companies like B Corps that are dedicated to providing a benefit to humanity. But if you are putting your money in green banks or putting your money in B Corps, but the intention behind that is still to make yourself feel safe and secure, that intention is coming from fear. So it's your actions, and specifically the intentions behind them, that determine the consequences that you'll be creating. And as you create authentic power, you begin to align yourself with your soul. And the intentions of your soul, as we mentioned, are harmony and cooperation and sharing and reverence for life. And you become a personality that also has those intentions. And those intentions will shape the way that you look at the world and you look at your actions. And they will help you to ensure for yourself, not for others, for yourself, that your intentions are from love. This doesn't mean that if your intention happens to come from fear, you've made a mistake and you're off the track and you can't get on it. It just means that the universe will give you more opportunities to get back on a track that you yourself choose. The universe doesn't judge the tracks that you're on. The universe looks at what you do in terms of cause and effect. Every cause has an effect. The cause is not the action or the word, but the intention that infuses it. And if the intention is love, the cause will be a cause, a consequence of love. And if the intention is fear, the consequence will be a consequence of fear. And if you encounter a consequence of fear, it will be painful. And when you encounter a consequence of love, it will be blissful and wonderful. And you choose. You choose moment by moment, without judgment by the universe, that you're on the right track or the wrong track. But eventually, you learn that it's why not create with love? Why not create bliss? Why not create constructive consequences? Why not learn wisdom through love and trust rather than through fear and doubt? You will eventually. The choice is how long that will take and the consequences that you'll create along the way. I hope this is helpful to you.
Yes, thank you so much.
So good that you're on the call. Yes.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
So what we're going to do now, we're going to do something, we're going to be going into small groups. So if this is something that you haven't done before, you're really in for a treat. We're going to be putting you into groups of like 3 or 4 people, and you'll have your own space to be able to talk to each other virtually. So you can just see how it feels to be with other people who are also interested in creating authentic power, who are also interested in how they can develop spiritual partnerships. So at this time, what I'm going to do, have you in those small groups, and I would recommend that you stay on the call, you know, because you may say, oh, I don't want to talk to anyone else. Fear may come up in you. Take an opportunity to challenge that in you so that you can interact with your fellow human beings who are also interested.
And if excitement and curiosity and openness come up in you, that's a loving part of your personality, and you can cultivate it, and you're in for a joy now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So can we do that now, beloved?
Yeah, we're going to do that now. You're going to be put into groups, and what's going to happen is I'm going to have you introduce yourself to each other. So there are 3 or 4 in the group. So don't be shy. Just speak up. And the first thing you're going to do in your group, and I'm going to lead you through an exercise that I want you to do, but first I'm going to have you introduce yourself to each other. So how you'll do that is I'll let you know when the microphones are open, and then what you're going to say is your name and where you're from. And just do that very quickly, and whoever speaks first is going to go first on the exercise that we're going to do following that. And whoever speaks second, you'll go second. So at first, though, we're going to take 1 minute, and you're going to introduce yourself to each other. So let's do that. I'm going to have them open up the microphones right now, and you can go ahead and begin and introduce yourselves now. I'll ring the chime when the minute is up. Okay, everyone. Hopefully you introduced each other. If you didn't, you can do that next. So I'm going to put you on mute right now, because what we're going to do is do a little exercise, and then together you're going to be speaking together about what you're learning. So what I want you to do now is, if you can, close your eyes. If you can't, it's fine. But if it's safe, close your eyes and just rest for a moment with your eyes closed, or just rest quietly wherever you are, with your eyes open or closed. And what I want you to do is open yourself to discovering how what you are reacting to in the world outside of you is helping you to see things about yourself. Just be with that for a moment. So ask yourself, what do I react to in the world that would be helpful for me to look at in myself now? Notice any physical sensations. in the vicinities of your energy processing centers and your chakras areas. Notice if there's any physical sensations there as you think about this, as you open to this, that are painful or uncomfortable. Just notice if it's bringing up any reactions in you. When you're opening yourself to learning about yourself from your reactions to the world outside of you, what that shows you in yourself. So just notice. So the question really is, what do you need to change that you are now doing or not doing so that you will be able to experience and focus on yourself rather than outside of you? Just open to that question. Stay open and listen to your answers about what you need to do right now. What would be helpful to you to learn about yourself? Open to those answers and know they will come. Just be with that for a minute. They may not come right now, but they'll come now or they'll come later if you really are sincerely wanting to know. So just take a moment with that before we begin talking to each other. Now, what I want to happen is that I'm going to have the first person who spoke, who said their name, to share what you discovered about yourself. Maybe you can just notice that you've had a reaction to some circumstance outside of you. Maybe it has to do with the government. Maybe it's something else. Or maybe you see that your reaction is showing you a part of yourself that you need to become aware of so you can change it in you. So share about that. Share what you discovered with your the people in your group. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to do that. So I'm going to ring the chime. And then when 2 minutes is up, I'm going to ring a chime again so you can move, so we can move to the second person in your group. Okay, so I'm going to open up the microphones now and ring the chime. Okay, go ahead and begin. The first person, what did you discover? Okay, what I'd like you to do now is switch to the next person. There'll be time later on if you didn't get to finish the first person. But I just want you to share with your other partners in your group what you discovered. Maybe, like I said, maybe you can just notice that you have a reaction to some circumstance outside of you, or maybe you see that your reaction is showing you a part of yourself that you need to become aware of so you can change it in you. So just share that with your group. Number two. Go ahead and do that. Now you'll have 2 minutes. Okay, it's time for you to move on to the third person in your group now. So go ahead and do that and just talk about what you discovered. Number three, person number three, what you know you need to change in yourself because of your reactions to the outside world. Go ahead and do that now. You'll have 2 minutes. Okay, if you have four people in your group, go ahead and share the fourth person. If you only have three people in your group, then if there's anyone else that needs to share in your group, go ahead and do that. Take turns sharing if you need to do that. But let's let the fourth person, if you have a fourth person in your group, begin. 2 more minutes for that person to just say what they're discovering about themselves, about their reactions from things on the outside. Go ahead and share that now. Okay, everyone, you're going to have more time, but we're going to close the microphones at the moment. We're going to mute you so that we can, Gary and I wanted to say a few more things and ask you a question. So go ahead and mute. Okay, so you'll be able to get back into your groups after we leave the call, just so you know. So we just wanted to say a few things. We wanted to let you know that the next Life School call is on November 11th. We'd love to have you there. So please come. Also, we're going to be in New York on November 18th. There's an event in Long Island, and I know a number of you are coming. I'm really excited to see you there.
And that's on the website, right?
And it's on the website, and we may be doing other things in New York. So keep looking at the website for updates, because we'd love to see you while we're there. So come if you can. And also,
and we may be doing an event in Manhattan, but
absolutely,
that'll be on the website if we do.
Yeah, we'll let you know, and we'll try to send you out some information about that too. And also, I just wanted to let you know that the last month's Life School live call is on the website, on the Life School website. It was about your bucket list. So if you, what's your bucket list? So if that's something that you missed or you'd like to hear over again, you'll see it on the website and you can listen to it again or listen to it because you weren't able to make it. So, but I do want to say, I want to ask you a question. Just Gary and I just have a question for you. We just want to know, from what we've been talking about today, what do you feel you're going to change in yourself that you would like changed in the world? For instance, less greed or more patience or things like that. Just if you have something you'd like to share, we're going to keep you in your groups, but you can still raise your hand and press 1 on your keypad, and I can actually call, we can call on you. So if there's anything you would like to say, just a couple words, what are you going to change in yourself? So go ahead and raise your hand, press
or
1.
Or any comments about what came up in the group.
Or any comments,
good?
Yes,
yeah.
That'd be fine too, any comments. So go ahead and raise your hand, press 1 on your keypad. Just we're going to do this really quickly because we'd really like to hear what's happening, what you're noticing. So let me just see who, and I may just call on you too, just because I just want you to just say, what is it you're going to change for yourself? What are you going to change in yourself?
Or what have you been discussing in your group that's really exciting for you now, or
yes,
you don't want to talk about, but that might be a good reason to share it.
Yes, yes. So I'm going to call on Suha. Suha, I'm going to unmute your microphone. Hello.
Hi, Linda. Hi, Gary.
Hi.
Hi, Suha.
So I think for me, what came to me when you asked that question, frightened parts in myself that judge and our superior are what I am working on changing in myself, and I can see being aware of them and feeling the pain in my body and not reacting, how I am becoming more loving and having less judgment and superiority, and I think that that's what I'd like to challenge in me to help make the world a better place.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Suha. And also, when you have the time, take a look at what's going on in terms of our government in the United States and see if you can see anything in it that has to do with superiority and judgment. And I'm not talking about the president or the Congress. I'm talking about the whole picture of governance here and elsewhere.
Okay. Will do. Thanks, Gary.
All right. Thank you, Suha. I don't have time for many more, but I want to call on a couple more, maybe. Robina?
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I think for me personally, I'm just trying to change the way that I approach anybody, strangers or people that I know. And if I get a reaction where, you know, before if I just say like, oh, I don't really like that person and I would shy away, I'm just trying to be a lot more open and give an opportunity to get to know them, because a lot of times people are acting out of their own fears. And I feel like, you know, for our country to heal and get to a place where it needs to be, more people need to be doing that. I feel like everyone's so siloed in their own world and not being open to the people around them. You know, it's like you see people attacking people on Facebook or social media, but if they were their neighbor, you know, they wouldn't say it to their face. So I'm just trying to be a lot more open and aware and just welcoming to people and not let my initial reaction be the way that I respond or how I carry out, you know, my interaction with them, you know, whether it be for the next 5 minutes or the next 5 hours that we're together. And So that's kind of been my approach, especially with everything that's happening lately.
Excellent. Excellent. So good. And great. Thank you so much. I'd like to call on Nancy. I know you don't have your hand up, Nancy, but I was just so curious to talk to you.
How I can talk?
Hi. How are you? Can you hear me, Nancy? Hello? Oh, maybe we lost connection. I know you...
Can you hear me?
There. Yeah, now can I can.
Ah, yeah. Well, I have a one-year-old baby, so most of the time I was away from my computer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because now it's 7 p.m. in Norway.
Yes.
Yeah, it's bedtime.
Yeah.
For my son. But what are you discussing?
My question is, what do you want?
Come back.
Couldn't hear you.
I just came back now. So what did you say before, like a minute ago?
What do you want to change in yourself that you see in the world that you would like to be different? What is it that in you that you want to change?
Oh, what I want to change is one of the example I can give you is when I see the news, and I hear a lot of the news from the U.S., of course, and I caught myself expecting like a bad news coming from you. I mean, from the U.S. because I'm so used to that a lot of what can I say bad news coming from the U.S. So I expected it, and I caught myself why I expect that somebody else or somewhere around the world. It's like I'm accepted that this is how human, or this is how our world is. So I just accepted it. But that I want to change it, because if I can change it for the better of me, then of course humanity also can change. My thought and my thinking and my expectation of the humanity is like, this is it. But of course it's not just this. We are evolving, but I would like to see it more, maybe more in reality.
Yeah, you know, I really feel that a lot of things are happening, Nancy, but we don't get to see them because the news that dominates our airwaves and newspapers and every way, internet, is mainly news that comes from fearful parts of the personality.
Mm.
But there are many good things happening, and you can decide to make those many good things happen in you so that the news around you is good news.
And that
yeah.
doesn't mean that you imagine that what you see being motivated by fear
mm-hmm.
is not going to create destructive consequences, but it will change the way you see it. As someone said earlier, if you recognize these people not as just names who are doing destructive things, but as personalities in the Earth School like you who are in the control of frightened parts of their personality, parts of their personalities that are pursuing external power, that have ambitions for external power, that have ambitions that involve changing the world the way they want the world to be, those will still create negative consequences, but you will be able to look at those people with more compassion rather than judge them as brutal or cruel or unintelligent. And as you have more compassion, you'll be able to your creativity will bring up to you, will serve up to you ways of responding that you might not have thought about in the past, ways of responding in your family, ways of responding that will model for your child a new way of being in the world,
yeah.
ways of responding that will model or begin to contribute to new forms of governance in the world.
Indeed, indeed. So good to have you on the call.
Oh my God, I'm so grateful that I can, because this is my first time. I'm really grateful for both of you and for the book, for the Seed of the Soul book. Oh my God, it changed my life. And I just want to tell you this, because before I had my son, I made a promise to myself that I would come to your the retreat in Oregon, like that you have once a year. But
the journey
because,
to the
yeah,
soul, yeah.
Yeah, one, but I couldn't. So some years I tried to save money and to plan for that, but it didn't happen. But I read your book like a few times. I promised myself I would read your book before I have my a child, and I feel that I raised my consciousness before I have my child. So I'm very grateful for that. And I will continue to read them.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And so, yeah, so I hope I can raise him with more awareness and more conscious than I've been raised.
So what I'm thinking is we'd love to see you next month if you can come on the call, and we would love to meet you. It would be so wonderful to hear how, let us know how things are going with raising your child consciously by using what's in the seed of the soul. Let us know about that, how you're doing, and we'll be doing everything we can to support you in all of that.
Yes, well.
So thank you so much. Wonderful to have you on the call. And goodbye for now, Nancy. And I'm going to say, actually, Gary and I are going to say goodbye to all of you, because we're going to be leaving the call now, but you can stay in your groups. You can continue to talk about these really juicy things we've been talking about today and share what you're going to change in yourself that you see that you would like changed in the world that you're reacting to, so you know that it's in you. So go ahead and talk about that, because the more that you discover about that, the world becomes so amazing, because then you see every time you're reacting, oh, that's about me. There's something in me that I don't want to see. So you can begin to talk about that with each other, and so you can stay on the line as long as you want about that. And if you have things that you have questions about, please, you know, send them in to us, because we use these questions and things that you say to us as a way to know what we want to talk about next on the Life School calls and how we answer questions. So you can just send it into lifeschool@seedofthesoul.com if you have any suggestions or ideas or things you want to share with us. So right now, we're going to leave the call and go ahead, like I said, stay as long as you want and talk about these really juicy things about what you're going to change in yourself that you want to see changed in the world.
It's good to be with you. So I'm looking forward to being with you again next month.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful rest of your time together, and we'll be with you again next month.
So now you're back in your groups. Is that correct?
Yes, they are in their
groups.
Yes,
you're back in your groups. So when you speak again, you'll be talking with your group.
All right now. Bye for now. Go ahead and begin your talk with everyone in your group. Bye now.